Jeff Harding here with PS Tech Audio Source. I have a special guest here that was very gracious in giving up his time. He's spending a lot of work and helping a lot of people that are in trouble. Particularly, what we're going to talk about is some of his work with some people from Haiti. He's up in Canada, and he has some refugee situations of people coming up from Haiti after that terrible earthquake. And I wanted to talk to him about his use of PS Tech, and he's got some interesting takes here and some interesting uses of PS Tech, not only in PS Tech alone, but using it with other more modalities. So I think you'll find this really interesting. Anyway, let's get started here with Chris Ducastel. And welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, first of all, I wanted to kind of highlight the situation here. The Haiti earthquake, when did that occur? What month and year?
The Haiti earthquake was quite recent. I don't actually remember the month. I know that refugees started to come in to Canada, specifically to Montreal, in January.
Okay.
So it occurred, you know, somewhat before January. But I believe that the refugees who could leave started to leave ASAP because the conditions are really quite bad. And, in fact, they're still quite bad. This particular individual, when I'm in Montreal, I stay with a friend of mine, and his wife is Haitian. And so her niece came over with her baby as quickly as they possibly could. And that was in January. When I encountered her at that time, she had complained of still feeling the earthquake under her feet. And
okay.
So she felt, when she was walking, she felt really unsteady. So I helped her out using a modality called craniosacral at the time.
Okay.
And showed her some EFT and some other modalities. This was before I came across PS Tech. And in the interim, I went back to Toronto where I live. I work in Toronto and I work in Montreal. And then I came back down recently. I'm just wrapping up my stay in Montreal now. I'm about to go back to Toronto in a few days. And she had just arrived from going back to Haiti to work on some details, because basically she and her husband and her child now live in this residence where I'm staying when I'm in Montreal. They're going to rebuild their life, and they're going to do it in Canada because Haiti is going to be in a pretty awful state for a very long time. When she came back, she described the situation. It's pretty horrific. Essentially, you're dealing with debris everywhere. The only thing they had time to do on the pedestrian roads, or the more internal roads, is to push the debris to one side to allow one car to get through. So these kids and these families are living under tents. It's hot. It's very unpleasant. There's a lack of running water. When they do bathe, they bathe publicly. I mean, there's no privacy for anyone in the situation. And then they walk over this debris, under which there are still corpses, by the way, to get to school, which is under another tent. This is the schooling. The contract for that has been handled by UNICEF. Is being handled by UNICEF, and I think I get different versions of this. I think a psychologist comes in maybe once a day or once every several days for maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and that's pretty much it. And then at the end, they walk back over the debris. So this lady, after coming to Canada and setting up here, she went back to Haiti, and this is what she saw. So it was like nothing had changed. For her, it was the day after, still. She had a lot of difficulty with this. This was very hard for her. So when she came back and we spoke, she said, you know, I think of Haiti and I see these images of debris and children walking over debris and the stench of you know, corpses in the air and so forth and so on. And I looked at her and I said, listen, for purposes of discretion, we're going to call her Jane. I said, Jane, do you want me to neutralize this? You know, there's a new system that I'm working with, and I think that in a very short space of time, we can, you know, neutralize what you're feeling. You'll still have the memories, but you won't have all this, you know, these feelings and these reactions that you have to negotiate now. Because, I mean, it's hard enough to start a new life somewhere. I mean, there are concerns about that. They still have to pay for their property in Haiti, otherwise they'll lose it, even though, I mean, it's, you know,
yeah.
It's an earthquake site, right?
Yeah, what's the value there, really?
Yeah, they're here starting over. There's a lot of concerns, you know, and so forth and so on. So she agreed. She readily agreed.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that. How open was she to your work? Was she already familiar with the work, or was it?
Well, she wasn't familiar with PS Tech, but she was familiar with my work.
Okay.
And we had already worked, not using PS Tech, but other change work modalities to great success.
Okay.
So I had already established rapport, and I had already established trust and competence.
Now, let me ask you a question. And number one, I wanted to really highlight here, especially, you know, for those listening, that number one, there's still some great problems there. And, you know, if anybody does want to help out in those areas, you know, you could search and find ways to do that. So, you know, although the cameras are gone, the problems and the issues aren't. And not only that, but as illustrated here, because you were working with Jane here recently, right, within the last few weeks, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months later, she's still having these images, not just images, like you said. I thought that was interesting. She felt as if the earth under her feet was still, what, shaking or unstable?
Okay, well, let me establish the timeline a little better.
Okay, go ahead.
I apologize for not doing so in the first place.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
She first arrived from Haiti,
uh-huh,
in January,
okay,
she had that physical sensation, which, incidentally, this was not just her. All the refugees, or many of the refugees, all the ones she spoke to,
right,
in the hotel that had been leased by the government authorities here to house the refugees, were talking about this phenomenon that they could still feel the earth shaking under their feet.
Wow.
And that, you know, when they were walking, they felt like they could fall at any moment. Okay,
wow. Yeah.
So it was in January that when I first met her, that I said, "Listen, you know, I can help you with this," and I neutralized that phenomenon, not using PS Tech, but using craniosacral and a few other modalities.
Mm-hmm.
We also did some EFT and some TAT as well on some other issues. Then what happened is quite recently, okay, within the past month or 2 months, she went back to Haiti. And that's when she saw that it was the day after still. You know, nothing had changed. In fact, her comment was, you know, forget about rebuilding. It's going to take 10 years just to clean it up at this rate.
Mm.
So, yeah, it is a very difficult situation. I was actually talking with Phil about it, about the possibility translating PS Tech into Creole and getting it to the people, and we were discussing that.
Right.
The problem, of course, is, you know, how to get to the relevant people in Haiti to make sure that it can be disseminated in the right way. And that alone is a big issue. Sometimes it's really hard to help because you need to reach the people who can actually make sure that that help happens. And so, you know, and that's really grinding, quite frankly. That's the grinding part about trying to help in a situation like this. It's like, you know, all these steps into the red tape before you can actually do anything. One does what one can.
Right.
And even if this project that I have in mind of translating PS Tech into Creole and getting it down to the people doesn't happen, there are still ways as individuals that we can contribute and that we can help people. I mean, that's what I did here when I spoke with Jane after she came back and said, you know, I've come back. It was a hard trip. These are the images that I see. These are the feelings that I have. You know, I'm trying not to let it bother me, but it's really hard.
So when she went back, did she maybe have some aspects that, because being in Montreal, of course, she wasn't there at the site in Haiti. Were there aspects that came up after she revisited, or was it about the future? Maybe both, right?
Well, the thing what we worked on, I can tell you, I can answer your question in the following manner by telling you what we worked on in the session. It was pretty obvious to me that the first thing that needed to go was the haunting visuals.
Right.
And whatever other submodalities, for those of you not familiar with the term, visual, auditory, or kinesthetic representations that existed because of her trip back to Haiti. So it was obvious to me, neutralize those first, then see what happens. Now, she had spoken of starting the new life and, you know, that concern. But, and I sort of figured we'd work on that, but I didn't know for sure. And I felt, in any event, start at the beginning, neutralize the worst, and then see what happens from there. So that's what we did. I basically, and this is the wonderful thing about PS Tech. It's so plug and play.
Right.
I sat Jane down in front of my laptop. I put in some earphones into the laptop. I showed her where to press play, and I said, just follow the instructions. Do not worry about getting it right. Okay? You're not supposed to get it right. All you need to do is follow the instructions to the best of your abilities. And then I let her go at it, and I just stayed in the room, and I did something called cardiac coherence breathing, which I'll explain very quickly to you because it's part of the modality, it's part of the extra modality that I used with her. You inhale to the count of six, you exhale to the count of six. What this does, this is a wonderful phenomenon. We are mechanically designed, and I hate using the term mechanical with regards to human beings, but in this case, it's really a wonderful saving grace. So we are literally organically, mechanically designed to, when we breathe to the count of six and exhale to the count of six, within a very short space of time, 3 to 5 minutes, acetylcholine is released in our system. And our heart rate, our cardiac system and our lung system become coordinated. And this balances out our nervous system. It neutralizes negative emotions. And it also happens to generate, according to the HeartMath Institute, a 12-foot radius electromagnetic field around the body. So, you know, for me to be in her presence, sort of out of, you know, just out of her field of vision to give her some privacy, but in cardiac coherence, was good for several reasons. One, it allows me to hold the space. Two, it actually does generate an electromagnetic field, which can have a positive impact on the session. And three, because of the state that it puts me in, it leverages the existence of mirror neurons that exist in human beings. So when we see somebody in a particular state or doing something, there is a neuron in our brain that fires as if we were doing it. Now, it fires, it's much stronger when we actually do the act or we are in the state, but it will fire anyway just in relationship to being with someone who is either doing something or in a particular state. So after she did the PS Tech for the images of her experience, images and you know, feelings and whatever other sensory experience of her experience in Haiti, I then said, so how do you feel? And she said, I feel really relaxed. I said, so I want you to think about Haiti now. And she looked at me and she kind of scrunched up her face and went, I can't really, wow, remember sort of, I mean, I know it happened. I know I was there, but I don't feel the same thing. I said, well, how do you feel about it? She said, it's gone. I feel fine. I said, good. Then I said, let's try something. So I put on the cardiac coherence software from the EM Wave software, rather, from HeartMath. And there's something called the cardiac coherence coach, which it's basically a little ball that goes up and down these mountains. And you can adjust the speed of the ball, and I adjusted it to 6 seconds. And then I just played in the background a song by Karen Drucker called Breathe, which incidentally, for those of you who wish to experiment with cardiac coherence breathing, it's 3 to 5 minutes to get the effect. That means that you're inhaling and exhaling that's, we'll call that one count or one breath, one full breath. It's 18 full breaths to do 3 minutes. It's 30 full breaths to do five. It so happens that Karen Drucker's song, Breathe, is 5 minutes and 40 seconds. Mm. And it is, it's a phenomenal song. If you're into sound as a healing modality, I mean, the woman hits all the right notes. It's all
really,
the right
really?
Way.
Really? Okay.
It's just phenomenal. And, I mean, let's face it, it's 90 cents. You get it off of iTunes. Boy, do you get your money's worth and then some.
Well, and I think this is important, too, because, you know, you talked about the aspects of visual, auditory, kinesthetic. And we all have all of those, but some of us are stronger on some than others. Some of us are more visual than kinesthetic, et cetera. But I think it's really important to in our healing or in our work, when we're working toward a positive, which I know you're going to get to here, that we do touch on all three at least a little bit. In other words, if we can get to the feelings and some visual and some auditory, like you're talking about here, I think our, oh, for lack of a better word here, our success with whatever we're doing here is going to be much higher.
I agree. And it is true that there are certain people seem to use certain, we'll call these submodalities, more than others. But it's also situation specific too, as well. So, but yes, touching on all three is important. So, after the initial PS tech for the experience in Haiti, I had Jane do some cardiac coherence, listening to Karen Drucker's song, following the little ball as it went up and down. Watching from, again, from a discreet distance, the indicators that showed me whether she was in cardiac coherence or not.
So is the software and via computer, is it hooked up to her?
Yes, there's a biofeedback sensor that
okay,
you can
right.
clip to your earlobe.
Right, okay, got it.
They also make one for the finger. What they also have is on the sensor that's on a UB stick that goes into the side of the computer, there's a little light, and that light will either be in red, blue, or green, green being coherence. Hmm. And so just by, I can keep a discrete distance and just look for the light, well, as well as, to be quite frank, you know, calibrating, just calibrating by looking at or using, you know, sensory acuity. And just watching her body.
Right.
But, you know, I have no shame taking in as much information as possible from as many sources, you know?
True.
So we did the cardiac coherence, and then we went to, you know, the issue of, okay, well, now that that's gone, is there anything else that's bothering you? And I did refer back to the cardiac coherence when I saw somewhere in the middle of her 5 minutes, she went red for a bit, and I said, did anything bother you while you were breathing? And she said, well, you know, I was thinking about, you know, it's a challenge. We have to start over. You know, my husband had a really good job. He's, you know, he worked at a high level, but here, I mean, you know, he's probably going to end up, he might end up being a janitor and having two jobs and, you know, that kind of thing. But
basically,
we'll make it.
So basically, pardon? She's touching on other aspects now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sort of what do we do now was what was going on in her mind, right?
Right.
So I said, okay, well, let's address that. So we then addressed that with the PS tech. And again, after that, I asked her how she was feeling. And she said, you know, I'm fine. You know, we'll make it. It'll be okay. And I said, okay, so you know what? Let's do a little more cardiac coherence now, just for a few more minutes. And so I repeated that process. She watched the little ball. She breathed in time. She went into coherence for several minutes. And then after that, I said, okay, now, what do you want? What, you know, what do you want out of this? What do you want for yourself in the future? And we talked about it a bit, and then I suggested something. And I suggested, you know, a statement about having a positive attitude and how the positive attitude has positive effects. She approved the statement, which I wrote on the computer. For me, this is kind of fun because the PSDX on the computer, the heart math is on the computer, you know, the word processing is on the computer.
Got your
really
little toolkit
like,
all right there. Everything's
heal,
right
you know?
There. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. You know, have laptop, will heal. So... And this is coming from a guy who you know, was an avid, you know, computer hater back when. You know? So
did you use your PS Tech on that or EFT?
No, I just discovered how easy it was to contact people through emails, and I decided I loved it. But
now, well, I have a question. Let me back up, though. Yeah. Let's say someone doesn't have the software, okay? Can they, when you say cardiac coherence, you're mainly, I mean, with the software and the indicators, that can kind of give them a little better way to orient themselves. But if they don't have it, can they do that? Go ahead.
Yeah, just it's, see, that's let's put this into context. And you'll love this as someone who works in the alternative health field. I spent $900 on a workshop and software ultimately to find out that the trick of this is, I mean, you can think about breathing through your heart and you can think of a moment of gratitude and all that stuff. But then again, you can think, I'm on the bus and I'm late for work, and still breathe into the count of six and breathe out to the count of six, and your body will do the rest.
Okay.
So the secret of cardiac coherence is not in seeing wonderful images or imagining you're breathing from the heart center. All of that is an adjunct, and it's very nice, but that's not going to guarantee you the physiological phenomenon of cardiac coherence. What will guarantee you that is breathing into the count of six and breathing out to the count of six and doing it for 3 to 5 minutes.
Now, are those deep, long breaths, or as deep as you can, long as you can?
6 seconds. It's 6 seconds in, 6 seconds
okay.
out.
6 seconds in, okay.
Okay? It's just the six-second rule, okay? You don't have to hold your breaths.
That's what I was going to ask. You don't pause. It's just a kind of flowing continuous?
It's a flowing continuous breath to 6 seconds. And you know what? The world doesn't end if it's only five.
You don't get deducted, huh?
No. And in fact, there are moments when I found that I was at a four count and I switched back to six, and I was hooked up to the machine so I could see what was going on, and it was all good. It was fine.
And then how many rounds do you do? Did you say?
18.
18, because you also 30. Mentioned 30 one time, I think.
Yeah, 18 to 30. Here's the thing. For those of you who are therapists out there and want to use cardiac coherence, according to Dr. David O'Hara here in Montreal, who's been using this for a good 20 to 30 years, people are more likely to integrate it into their lifestyle if you say 3 minutes three times a day. And the reason for three times a day, by the way, is because the release of acetylcholine that occurs through this 3 to 5 minute practice lasts about 3 to 4 hours. So ideally you do it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You don't have to do it before you go to bed unless you're really stressed and you think you need it, because we go into cardiac coherence spontaneously when we're sleeping.
When we go, okay, right.
Okay, so now if you're using this with a client, it's really simple. You just, you know, if you want, you can put on some music. Again, I suggest the song Breathe by Karen Drucker. And you just take your finger as if you were holding a baton and you count, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And as you raise your finger, the person inhales. And as you bring the finger down, they exhale. A point to remember is that when you're doing this, part of this whole process are the sense receptors on the side of the aorta, of which they are more prolific at the area of the diaphragm than the lungs. So breathing from the belly is really important,
right?
Because it just makes it work that much faster. And also understand that with, you know, some people, they're so used to breathing in their upper chest that the tissues of the diaphragm are not that pliable. So you might have to, say, start off with 3 seconds or 4 seconds,
right,
and work your way into it. But you don't need software, because the trick is it's the long breathing and sustaining it for 3 minutes to 5 minutes.
Okay, good. Okay. So you do it before, as a precursor to a session, if you will, right?
Well, what I do is I find out what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I'll do a gut check, and I'll think, okay, should we do this cardiac coherence now?
Mm.
Generally, my gut says yes.
Mm-hmm.
We do that. We do it for 3 minutes, maybe five, and then we do it after each round on the PS Tech. But again, you know, you have to go with your gut. I mean, everybody's
right.
different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the last person on God's green earth to turn around and say, this is a protocol, this is a formula, you must
okay.
forget it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
yeah.
do that. Why would I tell anybody else to?
Right.
The point of using cardiac coherence, and again, to come back to what science can tell us about the effect, is that it releases acetylcholine into the system, and it has been used with EMDR to relieve trauma as part of that process. The sustained cardiac coherence takes us to a neutral position, okay? So I find that it works really well with PS Tech, and PS Tech, as any powerful tool can, you know, sometimes after PS Tech you feel kind of tired because, I mean, there's a part of you that was keeping this tension in your body, right? And then it relaxes, and of
yeah.
course, you know,
yeah.
you get a little tired. And that can be a little, for people who aren't used to change work, that's sort of like, oh, what happened, you know? But I find that when you get them into cardiac coherence and they start breathing, they just go, oh, man, I'm zoned. I feel so relaxed. I feel
right.
like I had a massage.
Yeah.
And it's easier for them to integrate the experience that way.
Okay, good point. Good point. So you actually used, at where we left off there, and I kind of interrupted you here, you utilized the PS Tech positive with Jane, right?
Yes, I did. At the end, we used the PS Tech positive and the statement, I forgive me, I'm one of these sort of in-the-moment types, so my memory's not the greatest. But it was, you know, my positive attitude does, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, I wanted the statement to say that the attitude already existed and the attitude had a beneficial effect throughout her life. And so that was the crux of the message.
Okay, so you wanted to state it kind of in the not just the positive, but in the present.
Yes, absolutely. For better or for worse, you know, it's always, I'm almost not sure whether I should start quoting the law of attraction stuff, but one of the aspects of the law of attraction theories, or parts of you know, that philosophy, is act as if it's now.
Right.
Because it's, you know, the subconscious or the spirit or whatever it is, you know, accepts the message. So, you know, I would like to have this. It goes, okay, you would like to have this. I have this. Oh, you have it. Boom, you know. And so I find that when people make these statements in the present and have, maybe if you want, you can add some future pacing to that. But the most important thing for me is that they be in the present. I find that it's much stronger. And they walk away with a sense of, well, for instance, Jane walked away tired. I mean, we did this at night.
Uh-huh.
I think we started at 9 o'clock because she had to wait for her baby to go to sleep. When she walked away, she was tired, but she was confident.
Mm.
You know, she had a confidence and a strength to her confidence that was, from my point of view, quite obvious. And the next day, actually it was 2 days later, I spoke to her and I said, so, tell me about Haiti. You know, tell me about the memories. And she went, they're fine. I mean, I know it happened, but I don't have any negative feelings associated. I can't even work it up. And I said, so how do you feel about, you know, what's going on here? She said, we'll be fine. We'll make it. It'll be okay. And for me, that's like, okay, good.
Good.
Thank you, God. My work is done.
Right.
So I encourage everyone to experiment with PS Tech and to layer in a way that their intuition tells them to, the cardiac coherence breathing, which again, you know, I'm sorry to be repetitious, but it's a six-second inhalation, six-second exhalation. That's one breath. You do it 18 times, or if you want 30 times, do it 3 times a day, morning, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner. You can do it anywhere. Lying down's not so good. It doesn't work as well. But, you know, you can be in public transit and do it. You can be at the office, for that matter. You can be on the John, I mean, wherever.
Right.
It does wonderful things. It really, really does.
Well, I appreciate that point because what it reminds me of, in Hawaii here, we call it kahuna breathing, which is that same type of thing. The main breathing is that deep breathing for 3 to 5 minutes.
Well, it's, you know, let's face it. I mean, with the exception of, as far as this conversation goes, with the exception of PS Tech, a lot of what we're discussing is anything but new. I mean, people refer to this in the context of the new age, but this is about as old as you can get. Shamans have been teaching this stuff for thousands of years, right? So we're just rediscovering how we work.
Well, and I think in a physical realm or organic realm, I think we're seeing that it does have a physical manifestation of some type. It's not just, well, you know, some people call it woo-woo, and I guess, but it's not, because there is a physical, as you mentioned, the acetylcholine and these kind of aspects, and there's other organic, call it chemicals or hormones or whatever, that are affected by all of this. You know,
there's research to back it up.
Yeah.
I mean, go on PubMed and look at the variable heart rate, because cardiac coherence is not the term used by the doctors and the researchers. They use, variable heart rate and various sort of synonym expressions. The research is there. I mean, the doctor that I was speaking to here in Montreal has certainly softened up in the 30 years that he's been practicing. One of the things that he said is, you know, after doing cardiac coherence on a regular basis with my clients, I found that I listened to them more. And I mean, of course, I have a bit of a big mouth, so I had to hold my tongue back on that one, sitting in front of a medical doctor. That was just so tempting. But anyway, we slid through that one. He's a great guy, by the way. And he got into it because he was a medical doctor. He was a GP, but he had a specialty in nutritional medicine, and he was there to help people lose weight. And it never worked. The success rate was maybe 10%. The failure rate was 90%. And he just, as a true scientist, he went, well, this is ridiculous. I mean, this isn't working. And then he tripped over a book called a book mentioning cardiac coherence, written by a French author. It escapes me right now. And he said, well, I'll try this. And he started to work with cardiac coherence. And lo and behold, his patients started to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to look into other effects, and things like, it increases the intuition, it increases cognition, it boosts your immune system. It actually has, you can record on a graph the impact it has on heart rate variability. Is an interesting aspect to this that you might find, quite fascinating, is that there is a repetitive, if you look at a chart, there's a repetitive graph that shows the range that the heart can change quickly with ease. It's kind of like cardiac flexibility. And we drop about 3% per annum as we get older. And what cardiac coherence breathing does is it actually increases that range. So it's kind of like yoga for the heart. Now, these things can be shown on graphs. We know that it releases acetylcholine. We know that it does quite a few other things, which I apologize. I haven't memorized the entire list. But, yes, there are many other things that they do. There's science to back it up. It's not woo-woo anymore. And, a satellite can literally pick up the electromagnetic field of someone who's in cardiac coherence. And it's way, way stronger than the field generated by the brain, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
take that and run with it however you will.
Exactly.
So, I mean, these things are proven.
Well, I think that's important, and you've touched on it a little bit. Number one, everybody's a little bit different, and you have to kind of sometimes just go with your intuition, and because part of the rapport process is not just getting rapport but keeping it. Sometimes we have to go with the flow of who we're working with or within ourselves. And bottom line is, what we're looking for is what works.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why it's important to try different things. And I appreciate you, because you already had several modalities and you saw PS Tech come along and it's like, well, okay, let's try it, which is important, you know, that we're open to those things. And I wanted to kind of summarize on that because, number one, and especially with Jane here, working within this, I think it's important to look at this cardiac coherence, the heart math aspect, or, to put it more simply, look at utilizing this breathing on a regular basis. As you mentioned, six in, six out, 3 to 5 minutes, three times per day. But also doing that maybe prior to starting your click tracks with the PS Tech, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And in fact, I now do it before I do a session with a client.
Right, right.
It's for me.
For yourself, too. Yeah.
Because
it
brings me back to neutral. And
right.
from this neutral position, I can go in whatever direction I have to go.
Exactly. Instead of following the protocol, per se.
I'm not a big one for protocols. Protocols are really good, as far as I'm concerned, when you're learning something.
Right, right.
And they should be put aside as quickly as possible
right.
in favor of, again, as you said, what works for the person. Because really, in the end, I mean, who are we doing all this for, right?
Hopefully.
For the client.
Hopefully.
So it's what works for them. You know, I haven't included EFT and TAT yet in sessions where I use PS Tech, but I'm sure at some point it'll happen. Another, just one point that I want to finish up on about PS Tech
mm-hmm.
is, you know, there are a lot of people who are talk shy and who are therapeutic
mm-hmm.
talk shy.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, their spouses have to drag them kicking and screaming into the office.
That's another issue.
And they have to be, you know, like one step near the precipice, you know, just one
yeah.
step more and they're over the precipice before they'll actually come to see you. And, you know, it's really nice that in PS Tech, you can be very discreet. I mean, you can also, as you well know, in EFT.
Right.
But, you know, for people who are much more comfortable with a computer than they are with a person. And certainly a person who's, you know, what they might refer to as a woo-woo coach, you know, it's so much easier because I go, look, I don't have to know your problem. You don't have to tell me anything. Okay, you know what your problem is. Can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you feel it? You got the emotion? Fine. Thank you. I don't need to know. Put these earphones in. Follow what he says. Don't worry about getting it right. You'll be fine. I'll see you in 14 minutes. And let them do it.
Right. Well, yeah, you made that point before in the beginning about it being out of the box. It's real simple. You just put in the headphones. And that's what I've said quite often. I like it because it's simpler, especially when I'm giving home play, what I call home play versus homework.
Yeah, good one. I might rip that off if you don't mind.
Oh, not at all. I think I ripped it off too. So the issue there is they just need to focus on whatever's coming up in terms of feelings, images, movies, you know, thoughts even. And then some people have even used it on limiting beliefs themselves, rather general. You know, had people comment that using it on general issues have been quite successful too. Just focus on it. You don't have to worry about the words. What, you know, are you phrasing it right? Those kind of things. And like you said, if someone's not real articulate or they don't think they are, this is real simple and real easy for them to use on their own especially. But even in session, I found it very easy to use with people.
Well, for sure. And again, these people who are, and it's not always a question of being articulate or not articulate,
right.
but, you know, it can also be a question of they just don't want to look at another person
mm-hmm.
when they're coming for some kind of help that has to do with, you know, their mind.
Right.
Okay.
That's a good point. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like, look,
mm-hmm.
I'm already, from their perspective, I'm already embarrassed that I've got this
mm-hmm.
problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, too many people already know, and now I have to face you, and I don't even know who you are, and I have to look at you while I talk about this issue. I mean, that's very, very, very difficult for some people to do. You know, they'd rather bury themselves and keep the pain than face that. And so, again, you know, that's why I said with PS Tech, it's like, okay, you don't have to tell me anything. You don't even have to look at me. Just look at the computer. Computers are all right. And then walk away and let them, you know, stay somewhere close by so that you make sure everything's fine. But you don't have to be in front of them. You don't have to be next to them. You can give them their space, let them go through their experience, and go from there.
Good. Very good. Yeah, good summary there. Okay, well, quite a bit covered here. I really appreciate your time on all of this. Oh, I wanted to mention, you know, do you have a website, your phone number? Do you do things on the phone or in person or both? What's your setup?
My setup, which I am now actually setting up my setup, yes, I have a phone number. I'm in Toronto, although I can also work in Montreal.
Okay.
My number in Toronto is 416-893-9534, 416-893-9534. Excuse me. My email is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, dot DeCastell, D-E-C-A-S-T-E-L-L, at gmail.com, and my website, which is not up yet, I'm just getting the cards done now, and the website will be up in a couple of weeks, will be called integratedlight.net. So that'll be coming in the future, but for now, the phone number, and you know, if you want to email me, chris.decastell@gmail.com.
Sounds good. Okay. And by the way, like I said, do you do things over the phone with people too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right. So they don't
In fact, I've done NLP over Skype.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, so I do. I'll give you the alphabet soup.
Okay.
EFT, TAT, NLP, now PS Tech, cardiac coherence, guided meditative trance, neurohypnotic repatterning. I'm also by background. Originally, I'm a body worker. I'm a massage therapist.
Oh, okay. All right. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And on your website, I guess do you have some other products coming out too, eventually, or?
Yeah.
Okay, coming along. Good.
I'm always adding stuff.
Good
you
deal.
Know. Right. Eventually, what I want to do on my website is I want to set up a guided meditation that people can use that will go in. It'll start with a 20-minute segment, then a 15, then a 2-minute segment. Designed to help people reconnect to a very deep part of themselves that, interestingly enough, when you say, you know, my name is Chris, right? So when I say my name is John, there's a feeling of decrease in the energy. When my name is Chris, it increases. So if we have a fast way of getting to that state, it's kind of like always knowing where your bioenergetic north is. So I will be working on that. Hopefully that'll be up in a month or so.
Oh, good deal. Okay, look forward to seeing that. Okay, well, again, I appreciate your time today here. And I know there's a lot of gems in here for people. I appreciate the work that you're doing with people, especially in the trauma area. That's always an interesting area when we get into those things. On the other hand, everything's a trauma if you look at it that way. But I appreciate you working with those.
Yeah,
I appreciate you working with the folks coming up from Haiti and whatnot. And all the tips that you gave us here for therapists and otherwise, you know, people that are working with PS Tech and, you know, other modalities. You have some good stuff here. And, again, I really thank you for the work that you're doing out there for everyone and, hey, for who you are.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I really appreciate that.
Okay. All right. This is Jeff Harding again with PS Tech. Appreciate everybody listening in here with Chris and I. Everyone, take good care. Keep clicking with your PS Tech, and we'll talk soon. Aloha.